Breaking news!
Jesus.
Breaking news on White TV news station. Ellie Kemper was caught 21 years ago at the KKK ball, winning the Klan ball of the Queen Klan Queen ball, veiled prophet ball queen.
Queen of love and beauty.
Unbreakable day alive, damn it. She's a racist.
Just think of Eric Levi.
No, you're not wrong. Possibly.
Hey, 20 years ago, and this is what rich people do for... They make their kids do this.
Yeah.
I mean, 19's not a child, but it's still like, they make their kid.
Some people on Twitter would disagree with you.
Yeah, they vehemently disagree that 19's not a child. And you go, well, then why are you so upset about what 19-year-olds do? And they go, oh, actually... You have to try them as adults, though. 19-year-olds are not adults until they've done something minor. They made a minor joke I didn't like, and then they should never be allowed to go to school again. It's fucking wild. Yeah, they might be products of their environment, and racism might be institutional, but a 19-year-old should in her 40s, suffer. I mean, yeah, it's well known. It has ties to the Klan, the, like, Veiled Prophet Ball was the winner of. But yeah.
But I guess it's, like, removed by a little bit of time,
guess. Yeah, it's also removed from the rich because, like, it's just so ingrained into rich culture to go to things like this that are, like, it'll have a name, like... Her Himmler's barbecue bash.
It's also,
and so they all go.
It's also just, why is this coming up now? I don't know why this came up now.
I don't know. Someone got mad. Someone got mad to themselves.
I learned about this. I learned about this like maybe a year ago, but also learned about it from something that had
I
reported it a
today.
Lot earlier than that. Yeah. It's so yeah, it's like a thing that people have known about, but for some reason it just
well, that's
burst
everything
into the news.
With celebrities. I think what it is because something came out in the news about like Chick-fil-A up to their old tricks, giving money along with like Devos and some other really rich people to pass anti-gay bills or something again.
Yeah,
I think it's like anytime they're like, well, all right, fire up celebrity bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like anytime something happens, there'll suddenly be a billion news stories about. Did you hear Brad Pitt said being gay's a crime? And you're like, number one, I bet he didn't. Number two, I don't care what an actor thinks or does.
Besides, you, if that statement was actually said, you'd agree with it. Levi.
Maybe. Maybe not. Who knows? Listen, I've said it before. Economically, I'm a Maoist. Fiscally, I'm Marxist, but culturally, I'm to the right of Hitler himself.
Isn't there a word for people like that?
There's not.
Oh, They haven't come up with that.
I'm a new breed.
You're one of these, you're out of the food chain.
I'm out of the food chain. I'm an enlightened centrist. I take policies wherever I find them for what I like.
Thank you for joining us. This is TV for White People.
TV for White People.
My name is Eric.
And I'm Levi.
We're here today to talk about, you know, kind of an oldie, a little.
Yeah, we're here to talk about breaking news. This is breaking... You're breaking the news on this
one.
Yeah,
we're... yeah,
check when those Daily Mail and Fox News articles came out. I'm breaking this.
Yeah, we're breaking this. Just don't pay attention to when those things were posted and assume that we recorded this first.
And to get ahead of this, Tina Fey has... Normally we're writing spec scripts. Today, Tina Fey has contacted me and sent me an undisclosed amount of money to write a new episode of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt for her friend.
Yeah.
To get ahead of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know, yeah, we're talking about Unbreakable.
Yeah.
They Alive, damn it.
They Alive, damn it. It's a miracle.
That's still a funny... Did they ever change that theme?
No.
They never
the same
changed
one
it?
For
it's fun.
The whole show, yeah.
It is fun that was, like, five, six, 7 years old by the time that the first season of the show came out.
But, it is such a good, such a funny reference to do. I want to make a show where the reference in the theme is to All Your Bass Are Belong to Us. That's what I want to do. Oh, man, I got my new Lolcats theme song. I know, like, what are those guys? Gregory Brothers, right? They've kept doing the, like, auto-tune the news.
And is that who those guys were?
Why did you do it in the beginning? Yeah, that is.
Hey, it caught on for a week.
Okay,
it caught on. It was one of those fun things.
Hey, I remember their name somehow, so. Yeah.
And I guess, I think I had heard that they made that
theme. Yeah, they did.
So,
they got some work out of it. I think that's the guy from, like, the first, like, auto-tune the news that got big. The point being, the Veiled Prophet Ball. Do you know anything about the Veiled Prophet Ball?
Well, like I had said, I heard something about it a while back, so I don't really remember that much. I know it's like a St. Louis thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
St. Louis. It stems from, like, these two Confederates.
Yeah. I know it started incredibly racist.
Oh, absolutely.
And now the Veiled Prophet, it literally just looks like a Klan member, basically.
I mean, yeah. Well, it's... The Veiled Prophet comes from, like, a poem, and it's about...
Yeah.
It's funny enough, it's about a guy who was, like, anti-Islam. I think he was Zoroastrian, but... Yeah, but it's just, like, this weird thing where two fucking Confederates got home, and you're like, I don't know what we're gonna do, but I guess we'll fucking put on a pageant, put a little play on for ourselves.
Yeah.
Apparently, what I read was something about it being, like, a show of power against the labor somehow. And then, after that, a show of power by these, like, I guess rich white guys who came, I won't say came home, but it's, like, they were probably just in their fucking house in St. Louis all the time. Like, yeah, I'm a Confederate general. Yeah, it's so hard being a general out here. Just, like, drinking sweet tea on their porch. Oh, it's just so hard to be in the army. Damn. If only Sherman could have kept marching throughout all...
Yeah, Lincoln should have let him turn back.
Yeah. Well, the reality is Sherman should have been allowed to march through both the South and the North.
Yeah.
And just demolish the
Lincoln should
the
have
United
been like,
States.
Yeah, march to the sea and then turn around and go to the other side.
Yeah, just destroy this nation. Why not? Let's rebuild from ash all of it.
he might have said to do that, but Sherman got tired.
Sherman got a little tired. He got through Atlanta, and guess what? Those literacy fucking rates are still down to this day.
Oh man, I love a good legacy.
It's so funny, the legacy of the Civil War. All right, listen.
The legacy of the Civil War it didn't do anything and does not affect anyone to this day.
I was gonna say, to be fair, you know what? The people who did not start enslaved still are doing a lot better in the South than the people who started enslaved. So, you know, there's that aspect to it, too.
Yeah. Life's a bummer.
I just wish Sherman was allowed to just decimate the entirety of both the South and the North. And then put him on a ship, send him to Europe, get there, too. Hit England.
Hold fast. We've got work to do.
We've got a city to burn.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln was like, it's like 87 years ago. Wake up, samurai.
Wake the fuck up.
Wake the fuck up, samurai.
Wake the fuck up, patriot. We've got an England to burn.
I don't know why this is, but whenever I try to do a Lincoln impression, it just kind of just becomes JFK for some reason.
Is it because... You don't know what Lincoln sounds like?
I mean, it would be because I don't know what he sounds like. But also, there's no other reason to make him sound like JFK.
Is it Lincoln or Kennedy that, like, is described as sounding like a tea kettle?
I think that's Lincoln, actually.
That's
because everyone assumes that he sounds like a big old tough guy. But then like, there are accounts that he had a really shrill voice. Which is really funny to just be the most annoying prick.
Yeah, well, of course. That's how it...
History's incredibly kind to the presidents that we've never heard.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because they just have the benefit of everyone being like, well, look at all the cool stuff they did. This one won a battle after the war was over. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Well, anyways. Veiled Prophet.
Oh,
Unbreakable.
There is, I don't know what the group Action did, but there's like one section on the Wikipedia. So you can just read this for yourself, but I read through that about the Veiled Prophet. ball. And look, it's of course great to be against this Veiled Prophet ball, but the fucking way it reads out this story I read about this group, who I assume must be like a left-wing group just by their actions and just by what they were doing, but I think that they must have been like pro-labor or something, but it's like 70s, 80s, it could even be more recent, I don't know, I can't remember. They like went there with the intention of like just kind of fuck around there, unveil the Veiled Prophet, do whatever, and it's like they went, and then one of them was on like a balcony and planned to like go on a wire from the balcony to the stage, and it just immediately snaps and like fall to the ground. And it says someone like was unconscious for a minute and then got up and rushed to the stage. And she unmasked. I think it was all the three people were women. I'm trying to remember what the other two were up to, but it's just like reading somebody got onto wire and just falls from a balcony is so funny. It's so goofy. Like just bashes a rib or two or something. And then there's they like unmask the Veiled Prophet. It's the fucking like VP of Monsanto, by the way, is doing this.
Yeah.
Which of course that motherfucker would just be like a Klansman, but it's so, I should grab something that would tell me his name. Oh well.
The unmasking of the Veiled Prophet should be like a leftist holiday or like a leftist thing, like the running of the bulls, in Spain.
Yeah.
Just like a thing that we always do.
Well, I think what we should celebrate is the assassination of Kennedy. That's the one I think. We got him. We got that motherfucker, you know?
Right. If you wanna convince yourself
that's one we chalked up on.
We need to
celebrate the assassination of McKinley foremost. And then a lesser holiday.
I'll give you that one. JFK on a technicality through the official story.
Hey, listen, that's one up on the board for us.
It's so funny. The CIA is just like, yeah, you guys, you totally got that one.
Yeah, you guys got it. All right, fine. But yeah, no, I mean, McKinley, that was a good gig. Just what a fucking scum-ass bitch.
Was he the one that was walking in a crowd? He was the one that was walking in a crowd,
that's
right?
The one that, like...
That's the funniest
there's
shit.
There's an amazing diagram that's just, like, the assassin's cunning. It's just a fucking cloth over a gun.
Yes.
And it's like, nobody's thought of it before.
Okay, yeah, no, I was gonna say, back then, that was some guerrilla warfare shit.
It was like, yo, what the hell is up with that guy's hand? Why is it so long and pointy? Why is hand made of
metal? It
just
made a loud noise.
Oh my god. That's the one that I think when he was locked up, who's the famous magician that got punched in the stomach and died like a fucking loser? He did the milk jug
is.
The milk jug guy Houdini. Houdini, like,
it's so funny to be like, who's the famous magician who I'm not gonna tell you anything you'd know about him.
Famous magician should get it. All
okay, right. I thought Houdini because we're talking about the past.
Yeah.
The far, far past. But then you said a bunch of stuff I didn't... You could have said, like, who's the guy who did escape tricks and he's old? Yeah. I don't know,
no,
whatever.
No, famous one was the milk jug.
What did he do?
It was, like, a milk crate. Like, they used to package them in, like, a bunch of metal.
Uh-huh.
And so they, like, dunked him into it in chains. And then they put chains around the, like, milk barrel, and then, like, he escaped from
it. I didn't know it was in a milk barrel. I just knew it was, like, underwater.
Yeah. But it's, yeah, specifically it's, like, milk, because it's, like, enclosed, and it's something that, like, was on hand.
Yeah, that's something I recall.
Houdini, one of his tricks was, like, he escaped from McKinley's cell. Not McKinley's cell, but Czolgosz's cell when they, arrested him
to own him.
Yeah, to own him. He's like, look at that moron. Could have escaped at any time.
You guys left the door unlocked.
You can kill a president, but you can't escape. Yeah, that was...
To be honest, okay, I will say, what's there to top after that?
I mean,
you got the guy.
You did get the guy.
What? Oh,
yeah.
You're not going to one-up that by, oh, I got out of a cell. I killed the biggest guy. He's the biggest guy in the world.
Yeah, that, again, what a good fucking hit on that one. Damn, score one for the good guys on that one.
You had to get those in early, like as early as possible, because it's like, we gotta get these out of the way, because they're gonna stop letting them just walk around like
that is
soon.
True.
Like,
well, apparently not, because Obama walked for his inauguration.
But, yeah, but, Well, they got someone. They had more professional Secret Service guys by then.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
They were like, we gotta stop letting these guys get blasted.
They should not be walking so close to these guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. Oh, yeah, Obama walked on a street that had been cleared out beforehand.
I mean, again, got Kennedy too. Just riding around with that top down, and he's like, you know what? I can see him right through this. I can see him through my binocular. I bet I can see him through this scope, I guess.
It's fun to think about Oswald doing it on a whim.
Yeah.
Without any planning. He's like, what? Looking up at the window behind. Hey.
It's so funny because I think we've gone through Oswald before multiple times.
I know we've talked about it off the podcast.
No, but I thought that we talked about it on once of about Oswald being this loser that just like nobody would take him into their country, and he's like,
he wasn't.
I really want to go to Russia. I want to go to Cuba.
Yeah,
and we're just like, shut the fuck up. We don't want you associated with us.
That's
And he killed the president, which is awesome.
Yeah. Well, they gave him a wife.
Yeah. It would be so funny for someone to kill the president again.
They're never going to do it again.
Are so
dude.
Funny, but yeah, nobody's doing
it. Okay, my prediction is the next time they do it, it's just game over for America. That's how bad things would have gotten. That's my guess, you know? So it's like, they really don't want you to fucking kill that guy.
Yeah, if we didn't get Trump on and one, which killing, Trump would have been the funniest possible assassination.
Killing Biden doesn't count because, I mean, come on.
Yeah, Biden's halfway dead already.
What, we're going to waste all that work on a dude who's going to, he's not going to make it another week? God damn.
It's
every week he's just
it's honestly charming of him that he said he was going to be a two-term president. You're like, brother, you're like, you think you're making it?
Damn, dude. Yeah, you're way worse off than Reagan was.
You think you're making it for two terms?
They kind of were able to hide Reagan's stuff. You're starting off at worse. What the fuck,
you're
dude?
You're starting off at
It's so funny.
Corn pop.
Every day.
Should have been a Slovakian.
Every day he says like a new thing that's just it's just all a gamble.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Everyone's just like, all right, he's got to speak at this one, so let's cross our fingers.
Well, no, he doesn't, because the news just doesn't cover anything with him. And listen.
Oh, no. Fox News
and conservatives are wrong
normal,
on like everything.
Normal news places covered the thing where he said he was going to run over a journalist.
No.
They just think it's very charming when he says it on like CNN.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm trying to remember. Oh, she was like, thank you, sir, or something. Goodbye, sir. I was just like so like.
Oh, yeah.
Just so into him after he said he was going to murder her.
Girl, pick me, bitch.
Yeah, that was amazing.
God damn.
That's what I mean. Like, you never see it. If Trump had said
that. Thanks,
Dad. Thanks, Daddy. Like, if Trump had said that, it would
Trump
have
said,
gone.
Like, Trump said less and got like, a little more.
And he's right. Journalists should be afraid.
It's very funny, to be honest.
It's, God, every, it's so cool. Journalists will never get their comeuppance, but they're always going to go on and on about how awful it is. How, oh my God, isn't it so bad that journalists aren't respected enough? And it's like, all y'all motherfuckers just went like, nah, you should go to your job. Like in the beginning of the pandemic, y'all act like I don't remember anything you've done to us.
Yeah.
I remember all of it.
It's like, I don't respect a lot of people. Doesn't mean that they deserve it as a result.
It's so cool.
The deserving respect as a result of not getting any is very funny.
But
there's only one man I knew who could get no respect who deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You know who I'm talking about. Oh, Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, I get no respect.
I get no respect. I thought you had that one.
Nah.
I thought that one was in the bag for you.
My thoughts are far from here.
I'm so far
I'm trying
away,
to
dude.
Find a way to get us back to Kimmy Schmidt, dude.
Oh, yeah. That was
I'm trying to find
about.
A way to get us back to Veiled Prophet.
Ooh,
I didn't
we're back.
That story.
What story?
About the action. When
Yeah, go for it.
I swear, part that I liked most was it talked about one of the like everyone in the room going silent, and then one of the women who was at the pageant brought like the article. I don't know how this is allowed, but the article is like her Jewish boyfriend. I was like, can you just say why is he described this way? Why isn't it just like is her boyfriend? But it was like her Jewish boyfriend. It was like
they had to let you know.
And it was like he didn't like it. I think that's why, because it's like, yeah, I guess Jewish guys probably wouldn't like the Klan. It was like her Jewish boyfriend didn't like
Well, the inverse is that the Klan doesn't like them.
That's true. So. That's what I mean. Yeah. And that's what I mean. But it was like he started applauding because he thought it was part of the show. And he was like, that's actually cool.
That's very funny. Yeah, we gotta bring that back. Who's the Veiled Prophet right now? Anybody know? Is there one?
No, that's the whole point. You don't know who the Veiled Prophet is.
Okay, well, I'm just wondering.
But I know who the Veiled Prophet is.
Do you think when they get the unmasked, when they get unmasked, they're immediately like, God, fuck, we gotta get another one. Everybody knows who this one is. The point's having the goddamn veil.
Who knows who it is? Oh, no, we gotta get him out. But I know who the Prophet is in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. It's the Reverend, dude. And the Reverend is trying to get Kimmy Schmidt canceled by taking her to the Veiled Prophet Ball.
The Reverend?
The Reverend. Have you not? You've watched Kimmy Schmidt.
I watched the first. John I told Hamm. You I watched the first season when it came out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And we've all right. seen. We
watched,
just.
Yeah, we watched the whole part.
When it came out, like, being a 5 years woman, ago.
The whole thing with her being a mole woman was that the Reverend.
That's right. John Hamm was.
Yeah, John Hamm was the Reverend.
Okay.
And he's up to his old tricks trying to get Kimmy Schmidt canceled by everyone by making her seem like a racist. By taking her to the Veiled Prophet Ball. And at the pageant, he's tricking her with his questions and wiles into saying cancelable offenses and being racist in her answers to the pageant questions.
Yeah, tricking her, I say with air quotes.
Well, yeah, because he'll start and he'll be like, Kimmy Schmidt, for this question, contestant Kimmy Schmidt. The rest are like just contestant 1, 2, and he's like, and then contestant Kimmy Schmidt of the Mole Women from Indiana.
She's,
if I were to say, what's a word with an N that you're not allowed to say? Can you think of any for me?
I forgot it's not, doesn't really take a lot of work to trick her.
No, yeah.
To trick her character.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, and then the episode is going to revolve around Titus and Lillian and Jane Krakowski.
Jacqueline.
Who is a white woman playing a native woman, but the native woman's pretending to be a white woman.
That's funny.
It's a really good bit.
It's so funny.
And it's a better bit that their name is white, too.
Yeah.
That's such a good...
Jacqueline.
Yeah, and so they're going to have to try and protect Kimmy and get her out of these dangerous situations with these tricky questions and tricky things he's doing, where he tricks her into running out with Confederate flags as part of it, and she didn't realize all the other contestants have American flags that they're holding.
At any point, did any of her friends just go like, come on, Kimmy. please keep up.
Like, no. Come on, not at all. Of course not.
Yeah, I like all that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yes. And yeah, and so the ending of it, Scooby-Doo, like, Kimmy Schmidt's gonna have to unmask the Reverend.
I forgot about the whole Veiled Prophet part.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Veiled.
So throughout the whole episode, she's like, why is this guy gunning for me?
Oh, no, she doesn't realize it till the end.
Oh.
And then at the end, it seems like she realized it the whole time, because she's worked it out, and they're like, yeah, she got him. And you're like, yeah, but why was she being tricked this whole time?
You know, people are watching like, I don't know if this is a plot hole or bad... Why did she go along with this? She's like, I had to figure out this scheme.
To lure her into like, false sense of security.
So you didn't know? Or had to get close enough to unmask him? Also, is Kimmy Schmidt revealing that she was part of action?
She's
a covert cell implanted. Yeah. She's like, I was implanted years ago in my cover identity.
Yeah, I don't know what Kat Action's deal was, but when it cuts to her revealing she's part of Action, it's gonna be like she's taking a dress off, and then when it cuts back, she's in like a black leather jacket with like the black turtleneck and the black beret. Mm-hmm. just dressed. dressed like the Panthers. And she's like, we're taking down the Reverend, and we're taking down everyone here, too. And then the cops bust
in. She's got an AK on her hip.
Well, I like all that imagery, and then also the cops busting in to arrest all of the, to arrest the Reverend, and then all the people who, were legitimately veiled, prophet practicing.
I gotcha.
Yeah, and then they, yeah, they were arrested.
She's part of, she's part of...
You're arrested for racism under the new Biden-Kamala Care Act of 2022. In the way that, like, Unbreakable will make up joke laws. There was, one about, like, Pence's new education bill or things like that, where it would just be some fake law that they make up. Like, yeah, women can't speak on account of Pence's new bill about it or whatever. So we're going to do that, but the other way, which is now the cops can arrest you if you're too racist. And it's the Biden-Harris Care Act of 2022.
The C stands for cancel.
Yeah, well, the thing is, my buddy... I'm not going to name him, but he's a prevalent producer in Hollywood. Well, was. Now I have to go and call him through a certain government line.
Oh, no.
But he was told by his buddy, who used to be, let's say, a very high member of... in fact, I'd say a leading member the American government. They told me that that bill's going to come. That bill's going to happen. It's going to be a federal bill, actually.
She's a... I don't know what Action does either, but it would be really funny if all they did was try to unmask the prophet.
That would be cool. I would love that. Like, I would love
and
to
nothing
just go
else.
To...
They're like, do you guys do like any kind of like charity work or organizing, any kind of political... And she's like, no.
Just, no, that's not what we're up to. Yeah.
That or she is just the leader of the branch that focuses on it.
Yeah.
But I think it's funnier if that's if she just insinuates that all that's all Action does.
Dude, I would love to...
We are the counter-prophets.
I would love to go to the Veiled Prophet Ball and just, like, every year, these motherfuckers are just coming in hot, fucking it up all the way, comedic style.
It would be fun.
And just unmask them.
It would be fun to, yeah, try to unmask them every year because, like,
yeah,
well, it's not
a
crime.
They have to do it in new, interesting ways.
Well, yeah,
so, like,
but you're
to...
just like, you can't arrest me. It's not a crime.
It's not a crime to unmask
them. What? Oh, you're going to arrest me? And they're like, we're just going to, well, okay, you can't come back next year. And it's like, try and stop me. Try and stop me.
Just loading someone into a cannon to
There's
shoot them
no...
at the stage. So that, like, when they fly past, they're grabbing the veil off of the Veiled Prophet.
I'm just thinking about how funny it would be to come back the next year and get stopped at the door. And I'm like, well, how was I supposed to know they remember me?
Besides, yeah.
They're like, we have your picture here. And I'm like, what? Huh? My picture?
My picture?
Yeah,
it's yeah, a
you shoot it, you're shooting like a grappling hook over their head and then just, sliding all the way down, trying, like, with your catcher's mitt hand out for some reason, just have a catcher's mitt on, and they just duck as you go by and you hit the wall like a cartoon, slide down real slow.
Just, rappelling in, like, Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible, just going down right above the head. Everyone sees them right above the Veiled Prophet. But he's like, what's going on? Is it, are someone behind me? To the what? Side of me? What's going on? What? Not looking up, and everyone's like, no, up, up. And he's like, behind? To the side? For unmasking. And it's revealed that it's the CEO of Coca-Cola products. Yeah, that would be cool if that happened. It's a shame that it doesn't. And I would know that it doesn't because I go to every Veiled Prophet ball. I'm actually runner-up every time, so it really is
You're
a
runner-up
shame.
Prophet?
No, I'm runner-up for Clan Queen. so yeah, it really is a shame to see someone live your dreams like that in the news and see, like, Ellie Kemper in the news for winning Clan Queen. And I'm like, that was supposed to be me. That was supposed to be 4 years in a row. That was supposed to be me.
Tears running down your face every year.
Yeah, and every time I go, and
you have
like,
you could have like a giant cartoonish magnet where you're trying to like magnetize the Veiled Prophet's weird crown thing and just suck it right off his head.
Yeah, exactly.
Then like, you're in a balcony and you're like, but then you tune it into the wrong frequency and it pulls everybody else's watches in. Veiled Prophet sneaks away.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly
like
right. I look like a fool.
Every year he outsmarts you just by one step. He's like your Carmen Sandiego, except not at all in a racist.
I was going to say the problem with my entering the pageant every year is they're like, you're white enough and you do hate Catholics enough, but you're just not racist enough. I'm like, no, please.
No, I promise I am. I promise I am.
And they're like, well, all right then, say something racist. And I'm like, no, I don't
want to. I want to save it for the show.
Are you sure I can't just say something against Catholics? And like, no, it's got to be racist.
It's
got to
be all of them. Got
to be racist. You got to
hit all the check marks.
Please, I hate Italians so much. And they're like, that's the wrong kind of racist.
Not enough.
Not. We all already do that. That's an easy one.
You're like, does being anti-Semitic count? And they're like, they have to like consort in the back.
Maybe.
No.
Just please let me say something against the Greeks. Don't make me go all... Don't, come on. And like, you gotta be a little more racist if you want to win this pageant.
They're like, we weren't gonna do this, but now we're gonna record you saying it. And you're like, fuck, I should've just went all in. Damn it.
Come on, let me just say something about the Greeks. I can just be like, yeah, those hairy hero-eating fucks. And like, no, come on, you know what we want. You know what we want to hear? I'm like, nah. Yeah. It's crazy. John Stamos was this beautiful celebrity, and you find out he's Greek.
You, like, years later, someone says it in passing, and you're just like, huh?
What the hell? What? Uncle Jesse? Huh? Uncle Jesse's a...
They're like, yes. Yeah,
what?
Stamos? Dude, really? You didn't know? And you're like, what? You just keep saying Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jesse, he's a baklavite, huh? Huh? For real? He's a ozo drinker? Yeah? No. No, dude, for real? You're telling me he's a Socrates like that over there? Uncle Jesse is? No.
Don't do this. Please.
It's fun that, like, pretty much got the plot to an episode of Kimmy Schmidt by now, and it's like...
Well, we didn't talk that much about the show by itself. We just kind of, like, talked about Veiled Prophet a little bit, so...
Well, yeah.
So we did our 30 minutes.
We gotta get the A plot. That's true, we got the A plot up.
Oh, yeah. What's Titus up to? Because he's kind of the other real fun character in the show.
Oh, yeah. I think that... Because they all have to be going to this pageant, I think that he's taking that boyfriend he has in the show to the pageant. I think it's one of these where he's, like, trying to get him back or whatever was going on in the show for those. And so, like, he's taking him to the Veiled Prophet pageant. Yeah, and so hilarity ensues where they're both getting set up with the daughters of rich perverts who are like, this is my 19-year-old daughter, and I do not fuck her. I definitely don't do that. And you should marry her and, you know, live in different houses, and she'd stay with me, and you would keep living in New York. And if you say no, we'll know that you're gay. So that'll cause a problem here for us. Yeah, and so that I think is going to be the core to the B plot with Titus, where he's trying to set up a romantic evening with his boyfriend, but it's all getting torn up by just these veiled prophet types with their daughters, who they are not sexually active with, trying to marry them.
How does Jacqueline factor in? Is she competing against Kimmy?
Yeah, absolutely. Jacqueline is competing.
She has. She's like got the competitive, like, it's like messing with their friendship sort of thing. But then Kimmy is also like, don't you see what's happening with the prophet going after me?
Yeah, and then like the prophet keeps saying stuff that like hints that it's the reverend.
Yeah,
like he'll make an allusion to the apocalypse. Yeah, or like he'll say something about being a karate master.
Yeah, like Kimmy's trying to like, you know, sort of like meet with Jacqueline to be like, hey, I think that there's something up with the veiled prophet. Like, I have a suspicion. And Jacqueline's just like, get out of my face, Kimmy.
Yeah.
There's no consorting with the enemy.
Yeah, and like, the other part of it is that Jacqueline's saying all the right things through it. Like, she'll say racist things, but like, you know, in the right way for these,
And you're saying she's using veiled language.
What? Huh? Veiled? No.
Oh.
Nah, it's not veiled. It's just said in the right way. It's racist, but in the way that you're allowed to say it. Like how you're allowed to say racist things against Muslims, for instance.
Oh,
you
okay.
still are. It's funny that you still are.
The approved bad guys.
Yeah, it's that's what I mean. Like, it's
and
so
Russians.
Funny. Well,
Russians, not yeah. they're not. It's not quite considered racist, but they are approved bad guys.
Or how
or
it's,
North Koreans.
It's funny if you say something that would be otherwise racist against like an Italian or a Greek, as I said.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're white,
so they're allowed to fight. It's just so funny that like. You hear all this whining about anti-Semitism and it's on the rise and you're like, there's no way we're not still having a problem with the murder of Muslims, right? There's no possible
well,
way
okay.
that like we
Here's
can just...
Thing. The people that you're talking to about the rise of anti-Semitism, when you say the murder of Muslims is on the rise, or the problem of murder, the murder of Muslims being on the rise, that you know, you're already
know,
approaching
that's...
them with flawed language because they're like, problem. What are you
yeah,
talking about?
Problem. Well, yeah.
That's just what we want.
Well, yeah. It's like how the, what is it, Anti-Defamation League, that's the one that, like, the guy who was the manager of NWA got to, like, harass Ice Cube.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is the ADL, right? Not the other one?
Possibly.
Yeah, because the Jewish Defense League is the gang, and then the Anti-Defamation League is the one that's, like... We're the ADL, and we stand for anti-racism, but secretly, actually, we just are this weird far-right group that's like, did you say something bad about Israel? Because if so, I'm gonna find a way to sue you about this, and it will be on the news that you're an anti-Semite. Anyway, my point is, the ADL lists going to a mosque to pray as an anti-Semitic action. So there is that. Being Muslim is counted as anti-Semitism in the modern day.
I did read a thing somewhere where someone was arguing against that, where they basically said that anti-Semitism, because I was looking into it, and it was like, oh yeah, anti-Semitism, saying like, anti-Semitism is any... It's weird how when you go to look up the definition of that, it doesn't just give you like, like a dictionary definition.
Yeah.
It's like bringing it up from a website somewhere that says like, yeah, it's anything against Jews. So I specifically looked up like stuff about like, mm-hmm. you know, well, what about, you know, other people in the Middle East?
Yeah.
It was like an article or something where someone was just like, no, they don't count.
They don't count.
They actually don't count because we invented this just for these specific people.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just so weird to see like the FBI saying something about like the largest amount of hate crimes are happening to Jewish people, and you go, that again, I just go like, that just cannot be true, right? it has to be
well, if
either
you,
underreporting
if you do,
of the other hate crimes
well,
or something
it's
else
because
going on.
It's because anti-Semitism has just been redefined to just mean Jewish
yeah.
people.
Yeah, I guess so. It's
that's,
just weird.
That's all it means.
Yeah,
that, to them. Or, you know, to people, you know, using this rhetoric, basically.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a real bummer. to say the least.
It's just like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I haven't done any research into it.
I'm not
so
saying
it could be that,
you're
so.
Wrong. I'm saying this is the rhetoric.
Yeah, no, I know it's the rhetoric. And
this
that's
is
my
definitely
point, but...
the. This is definitely how they win, because they go like, well by my definition, I made up.
Don't you see that it's on the rise? Haven't you heard it's on the rise? It's just funny, too, because they use that as, like, your point of you're not allowed to say anything about Israel, because they're like, haven't you heard anti-Semitism's on the rise, though? And you're like, what does that have to do with what we're talking about? Unrelated things. And this is also unrelated to whatever we were talking about. But
which
I have another thing I want to talk about.
Yeah?
Yeah, which is I want to do my bit about fighting other podcasts.
You're... Wait, you didn't consult me about this.
Yeah... I thought I had at some point, but...
Maybe you did.
I was thinking about... I want to do a long bit about what podcasts we could and could not fight. And I started this writing jokes, and I only really got three out because I forgot to keep doing it.
I know that people like to root for the underdog, and I agree. But in this case, the underdog is like a single ant. And that's us.
Yeah.
And the other podcasts are like... a pit bull.
Well, I meant physically.
Oh.
Yeah, so it changes things up.
Now I gotta think about people.
Well, yeah. All right. I won't go through the three that I started with writing jokes on, and again, I forgot, which was first, Joe Rogan can experience these hands.
you have to do the bit in the style of a podcast name, I guess?
That was what I started, but now we're just going to talk about fighting.
You can take Joe Rogan?
I think together we could take Joe Rogan.
I still think that's questionable. I think that's very questionable.
It depends. It depends when in the day we fight Rogan. Is it before or after he's taken the kratom? If it's after, that's when he just fully chimps out, and that's what that video where he's like, "Oh, if you don't think a chimpanzee would eat a baby, you haven't read." What literature is that fucker talking about, by the way? But that's such a good quote. If you don't think chimps would steal your baby, you haven't been reading the literature. So good. But yeah, I mean,
the literature is the Jungle Book.
For real. But if it's before that, yeah, I think that the two of us combined could take Rogan.
All right. I hope we don't ever have to prove us wrong.
When I get us onto St. Rogie's pod. Yeah, we're gonna find out.
I'm here to rumble. Take back those things you said about the vaccine.
I'm here to rumble.
All right, round two. What's the next one?
Number two was Sarah Koenig's voice isn't going to be the only thing of her serialized.
Is it Koenig or Koenig?
Doesn't matter to me.
All right. Also, I don't know.
Well, that's why in parentheses to that joke, I remember writing, works for both Serial and This American Life.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she was both of them. That's funny, because when you started talking about this, my immediate thoughts were like, you could probably take the Serial people.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I think so.
It's like, if you're talking about NPR, nobody's like, well, I'm just worried about taking Ira Glass on. I don't know. I think Ira Glass might have my fucking number.
There's a sound of weakness there. I can hear it. I can hear it in those voices. Here's the thing. Absolutely. We would just trick Sarah into falling in love with us, and then backstab, knife in the heart.
Another I had was, I'm gonna make Matt and Shane face maximum pain.
So those are the three you came up with?
Oh, I had another, which was, I already forget it now, but it was like something about stuff you should know. Shit, what was it about? It was something like, I ain't the one ho or some shit like that. A rhyme like that. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I don't have bits because I didn't know about this.
Yeah.
So, but I think those three, well, hang on.
It was four.
I don't know anything about the Stuff You Should Know podcast, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, that's the one.
I do agree with Serial.
In history class.
And the Matt and Shane one's kind of funny. We could probably take Pod Save America, I bet.
Well, yeah. Well, the problem is there's like five of them.
Yeah, but I mean, like here's the thing. You can.
But they're all anemic, so it doesn't matter.
You stop them from moving, kind of.
What?
I'm trying to think of a word
for stopping someone.
It's like making someone pulling someone out of a fight without necessarily like beating the shit out of them, like throwing sand in their eyes or something, so they just can't fight you. what's the word? It's like starts with a D.
I don't know.
Incapacitate. That's what I'm thinking. Not with a D. Yeah, I'm thinking of decapitate. All right. I think we could probably easily incapacitate a couple of those motherfuckers. Throw some sand in their eyes. Rock from afar.
I mean, yeah.
You get them down to foreign objects. And the other thing is, you're like, what? I gotta take two of these motherfuckers? I'm sure we'll be fine.
Yeah,
I don't know what they all look like.
They're brittle boys, but it's still like,
here's the thing. We are gonna go into a fight ready to kill. We're going to send them the email about it as if it's fun.
Yeah.
We're going to trick them with subterfuge.
The problem is, what if they bring Beto? What if they're like, Beto, you owe us. You're in on this fight, too. Like, they might be
We trick Beto into taking himself out. We say, yo, do a kickflip. And then I just kick the board
Beto,
up from underneath.
Can you still ollie? Can you still ollie, dude?
So that one, I think, I'm going to say, sure.
I was going to say, Mabim Bam, my brother and me. That's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. and then a little quick dessert with Clint, their dad. Just taking them out one by one. I don't even need you for that fight. That one's a warm-up for a next one. That fight, I fly into Huntington, West Virginia. Go through that, whatever home they're
in. You can make short work of Griffin.
Whatever and maybe orphanage.
Travis too, without breaking a sweat. I feel like Justin's going to be.
I don't know why I said orphanage. I meant nursery, but whatever nursery.
They're those sleeping.
Three just, yeah, those three just adult babies sleeping together, one bed.
Just, it's like.
It's so funny. Oh, I am a fan. I'm just doing this as if I hate
them. It's going to be. I'm just imagining you showing up, and it's like that. It's like spoilers for Invincible. It's like that first really sick fight in Invincible where Omni-Man smashes a head.
Yeah.
It's going to be you doing that to Griffin, just crushing his head in your hands, and them just like, no! And then now that's how you know it's real. And then you just crack Travis's spine over your knee.
I was imagining Travis as like Mr. House in Fallout New Vegas. Who's like open a fucking like room up, and it's just him in this crypt.
And you just start yanking wires.
Yeah, he's
out.
like just fucking bones, and he's like, I use that machine to play Among Us for me. It's like slam my fist through a computer.
Smashing his corpse face.
The problem is that I don't know if I could actually hurt Juice. I don't know if I could hurt Justin McElroy.
You don't know if you
could
bring yourself.
I don't think I could. The rest, I'm like, I have the resolve
for it. Okay, but here's the thing. But in the end, you'll have to.
In the end, I'll have to.
And because after you killed both of his brothers, he will come for you.
The other thing, that is true. He would hunt me down.
You'll have
at
the
end
to,
of
so regardless, you'll have to. You'll
the other part
it's
of it.
It's him or us.
Is that takes out like half of five other fucking podcasts. If only five.
That's true. So you kind of go like, well, these widows are going to be too busy grieving.
Yeah. I can take down them fucking widows real quick too, huh?
And then Clint won't even put up a fight after that. Yeah, I feel like you're pretty much just showing out for a you're showing up for a mercy killing at that point.
That's here, what I'm saying.
He's grieving in the rain over three graves side by side. You just show up and you're like, sorry, but I'm here to finish the work.
Bam! Yeah.
That's pretty good.
The problem with one like Chapo Trap House would be the same as I feel we would have with Pod Save, but worse because they...
That's even worse extended universe.
Yeah.
You gotta deal with, like, the Chapo FYM guys.
Yeah, exactly.
you gotta deal with their fucking revolving door, but also a chair of a cast. where it's not even so much that there's so many, but it's just like, fuck, I gotta go find all these people.
I know,
I gotta go
for real.
Track them down.
Track now the fucking like producers who are also sometimes on the podcast, and it's like there's like 10 of those
they
guys
start,
too.
Yeah,
somehow
they start talking, and you're like, I guess you're gonna be in this show now.
I guess you're one of the guys. And then like I also will have to fight E1 too or something. It's like, oh god damn it, so many motherfuckers. The guys from Blowback come in, and I'm like, oh no, dude.
Just, oh, and then, yeah, the actual extended universe of
yeah,
every
yeah,
podcast
exactly.
They're
then
part
there's
of.
That
yeah.
Too, yeah. Oh my god, that would be a gauntlet and a half. Now, see, if I could team up with Rogue, with St. Rogie's King of Podcasts, patron saint
you,
of podcasts.
That's how you really get him, dude. That's how you really get him. Because yeah. you get him tired out. Because he's just going through dudes. Just like fist through faces. And then once he's all beat up, or like, you know, tired out, you're like, all right, well, time to turn on this motherfucker. You rip his head off.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
you exactly. You keep that as a totem for power to fight the other podcast. No one will be able to stop you. Oh, the Johns? No.
Johns?
No,
no,
not
at
all.
Never.
Going through
never,
them.
Never, never.
Using his head as a weapon, like Medusa's head.
Yeah, yeah. I'm using his head like Hermes and God of War to illuminate my path to other podcasts. Destroy. Going into Call Her Daddy, I'm like, where's the other one? She's like, no, it's just me now. I'm like, then where's the guy from Barstool? I want to fight him too then. I don't
take
know.
Take me to Dave.
Take me to Portnoy. Take me to Portnoy.
What other pods you got?
I don't know. Now I'm like, I guess.
I'm struggling.
I know. Well, yeah, because it's like, things like Two Dope Queens, I don't think, put out episodes anymore. So it's like so many of these most famous pods don't even put things out or are defunct.
Just
Conan O'Brien needs a friend.
Just, hey, here's what you can do. You listeners, if you have an idea of a podcast that you think that we could take, or maybe if you disagree with Levi's thesis of the different podcasts that he thinks we can take, or himself apparently, just, you know, email Levi. His email is Levi. you just add us, just tweet us.
Yeah, that is true.
What's our handle? It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
At Televised White.
Oh yeah,
it's pretty that funny. Is fun. But also, yeah, you probably just search TV for white people and you'd find it because it's got the same little picture. Up.
I mentioned some podcasts after Two Dope Queens. It's still a real one, but I already forget. So
yeah, let us know
who
you think we can beat.
There was another one. Oh no, that was actually real and it wasn't. Oh, Comedy Bang Bang's one.
Comedy Bang Bang's essentially an army.
Yeah. But,
like, you'll get through Aukerman and Paul Tompkins and maybe Mandzukas, and then you're like, well, I guess we're done. And then you look over the hill, and it's the rest
Reggie
of them.
Watts, yeah. Kid Cudi, Weird Al.
Exactly.
And then it's the guests.
Lauren Lapkus, fucking.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's not necessarily. That's like, yeah, Rich Ripper. Nah.
She like, gave herself a disease, I think.
What?
Yeah, wasn't it like she, like, got so stressed? She had some disease or something.
I didn't know about that.
I can't fully remember it, so it might
be fake.
You're
gonna have to let her
fake.
Kill you out of pity now. Good job.
Well, that was who's the guy that like they made jokes about him not coming on anymore because they were like, we're not gonna pay him. And
James
Adomian.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so funny. He's a great comic, and they're just like, we're not gonna pay a guest. And they made fun of him for wanting money.
I thought I heard that they were in like talking about paying guests, but I don't know if that ever happened. Also, I never heard of James Adomian being back on the podcast again. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I wouldn't if they make fun of you for wanting money.
Yeah.
It's weird to be like a fan of Comedy Bang Bang and then also be like, that's fucked up, dude. What the fuck is wrong with you?
There's a little bit of cognitive dissonance.
Doesn't he own Earwolf? That fucking asshole?
Yeah.
Such a dick, dude. That's so funny.
Very odd.
That's so funny to be so funny and then also just be such an asshole like that. I'm trying to make sure we never get to be on that show.
Yeah, no, we were definitely going to be invited.
We were. He was going to be.
I had some emails.
I had some emails from Scott Ock. From Hot Saucerman.
I don't know about Comedy Bang Man. There's just too many.
Yeah.
We'd have to keep Rogan around. Get him on some Kratom so that way he's got something to work through.
Yeah.
And then he finishes up with the Chapo guys. Because I was questioning whether or not that was going to tire him out enough. But I think the whole of the Legion of Comedy Bang Bang will do it.
That fucking, again, like you said, walking army. Well, what happened was he gave everyone who guessed it
it's a
show.
Well, they're all members of a gestalt of intelligence.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So Scott Aukerman's never really dead. He's just zipping around into every fucking guest's mind and taunting you.
I was going to say that D&D podcast that Jake from Jake and Amir has with those other college humor people, Caldwell, Emily.
Oh, yeah.
Murph.
They're pretty soft. Humor. They're pretty soft
people.
Yeah. That's like as soon as you show them we're here to kill, their resolve is broken and you basically just pick them
off. Exactly. Well, yeah, and see, if I have to take down both that one and the Jake and Amir show, because I think they also started a fucking network too.
Can you take Critical Role?
God, every famous person has a podcast and network, apparently.
It
a podcast
is
gets
really
famous and you start
easy
a network.
To have a podcast. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But
well,
can I take Critical Role?
Especially easy
when
you have when you're rich.
But my point was, you know, I guess I'll probably go for the D&D one, the harder one first, and then take down Amir Blumenfeld to get that other one, which lets me become head of Head Gum. That's their podcast network.
Oh, I thought you were going to be Head Barstool.
I could be Head Barstool. Well, I'm
head
trying.
Head of House Barstool.
I'm trying to take over Barstool.
That will happen as a result.
That will
happen. You're going to basically form a huge podcast monopoly.
And I'm going to be twice as annoying as Portnoy.
They're going to cut
I'm going to be twice as annoying, and I'm going to steal three times as much content as he already does.
Just doing an Earwolf fucking Barstool.
Yeah, everyone
would
be like,
merger.
Oh my god. Hero takes down Barstool owner. And then, like, a week later, it'd be like, villain makes Barstool even worse somehow.
you destroy all the podcasts, and then they go, what are you going to do next with all these, you have control over all these podcasts now, what are you going to do next? And you're like, I'm shutting down all the podcasts.
Oh, I got
and you
one.
You pull the lever that turns them all off.
I got one. Friends through the table. Yeah, friends at the table, more like friends through the table.
The thing about friends at the table is you think, like, oh, well, these are all very soft, kind people, so they'll be easy to kill. But no, Austin Walker's going to weave a world that he traps you in. You have to fight through it. And
well,
it's,
he also,
and it's like, you live for you live your years in that world, but it's only an instant in real life, so your
hasn't
mind
he also,
is
like, wrestled, too? But, like, I mean, like, professional wrestling.
Yeah, so
like,
when you get out of the world, he also beats the shit out of you.
Yeah. Maybe he was just, like, a manager or something. Or something like that. But I thought that there was something. But, yeah, friends through the table. That's a good bit. That's a good joke there.
You're doing like, the fucking backwards suplex.
Yeah, and I'll have to do it fucking 17 times. For
I can't really think of...
Yeah, I mean, I can name others. It'll just be people who are like, what the fuck is that? What are you talking about?
You guys got through the show in, like, 30 minutes, and it's like... Yeah,
and you
not
spend
all of them.
An hour talking about other it's funny because I remember talking to you once about like not liking podcasts mentioning other podcasts, and that feels kind of weird sometimes, or at least when it's ones you listen to. And just me, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go through a bunch of podcasts right now.
You turn the keys and then kick the car into fifth gear from park.
Yeah,
we went right through them all. Well, here's the thing: there's no way we could bring them up in another episode now.
Yeah.
So, we already did all the jokes.
You know what? That's true.
I was going to say is, like, there can't be that much material about every TV show. Sometimes
it was Conan O'Brien. That's the one that I forgot I mentioned.
Oh, yeah, there's a WTF.
Yeah, there is WTF.
He's already beaten.
He beat himself through fucking life, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
God damn, that would be, again, another one that it's just like putting down.
We could definitely take down
a sick dog.
Pete Holmes and the Weird. That's, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
He's a pretty big guy, but I just don't think he's got it in him.
No, of course not. Damn. Marc Maron rocks that he's just like half dead. He's
eternally broken.
Yeah, and you'd think being on Glow would make him stronger. You're like, wow, he's on a wrestling show. But then you see him, and every time you're like, damn, they really want me to want to fuck this old, just dying man in the fucking hospice in the show, even though he's not that old, really. He's only like 50. And then I go, and I do want to fuck him when I see him on that show. You're like, damn, wow, that motherfucker hot as hell. And then you look at me, and you're like, how's Marc Maron getting me attracted to what he's got going on?
I could see why you would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he rocks.
What the fuck? What the fuck? WTF with Marc Maron. Yeah, no, I mean, against all odds, we got an hour out of this.
Yeah.
Out of the show.
It seemed like at many points there we weren't gonna...
Yeah, no, when I looked at the 30-minute mark, I was like...
Yeah, no, for real.
Not looking good. Yeah. But then I remembered, like, oh, well, we just talk about something else.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah, thank you for joining us once again on another episode of TV for White People.
Thank you.
Yep, my name is Eric.
And I'm Levi.
And this has been your show.
Thank you.
Bye.
Eric. Levi.